This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear about the environmental concerns surrounding coal ash ponds at the Beckjord Power Station in New Richmond. But first, more companies are requiring job applicants to take a pre-employment drug test, and more people are failing those tests. A New York Times article published in May says part of that is because of an increase in the use of drugs such as marijuana, which is becoming legal in more parts of the country, or opioid drugs, which have swept the nation as an epidemic. Joining us to talk about how this affects the job market and the legal ramifications for employers and employees are President and CEO of Signet Screening, Matt Messersmith, and Director of Client Relations at Strategic HR, Kathleen Snyder. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Matt and Kathleen, thank you for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Kathleen, just how big of an issue is this for employers in terms of finding employees who can pass a drug screening test?
It's definitely a challenge. We're in a tight job market now to begin with. For any position, just across the board, a lot of people are working. The good people that want positions are in high demand. So it's a tight job market to begin with. Then when you throw in the drug issue, and it's certainly an issue. It hits some positions and some types of industries and things harder than other, depending on what type of workers you're looking for. But it comes up across the board.
Mm-hmm. What industries and what positions does it hit the most?
We see it a little less in the more professional level type positions, or the white collar positions, if you will. We do tend to see it a little bit more in some of the labor type positions, the skilled labor, the more blue collar type positions. That being said, it's not unheard of that we will see it somebody in a more professional, an accountant, that can't pass drug test. But we definitely see it in more the skilled trades and things of that nature, more the hourly level positions.
And I think you see the skilled trades testing more for that very reason, mm-hmm. because the skilled trades, you have somebody on a roof, you have people in environments that are dangerous.
Somebody driving a heavy piece of machinery.
Dangerous to themselves or dangerous to the people that they're working with. So
it's
a
safety issue. It's a liability issue.
Yeah. You don't want them hurting themselves or somebody else if they're out there, working on heavy equipment or machinery in a manufacturing facility.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, what issues are this and challenges is this creating for employers that you see?
I think what you're seeing is you're seeing employers that are looking, as was said, it was a very tight employment market. And right now they're having trouble finding people that can pass a criminal background check as well as the drug screen. And it's certainly causing difficulties. It's certainly something we have not seen Signet customers that have walked away and said, we are no longer going to drug screen. But it is an issue with making it harder for them to find people that they can employ.
So what percentage of businesses are testing before employment today? Has that number gone up?
I would say at Signet, we're definitely seeing more and more customers come on board. Even if they, in the beginning when we started working with them, they were doing just a background check. We're being contacted and being asked if we can, show them the ropes as far as how to do pre-employment drug screenings, as well as random screenings and manage those. But I think you are seeing more people and more companies are looking to do the drug screening, which is kind of crazy because at this point in time, they're still having a hard time finding people that can pass the test.
Well, but there's incentives to do so too. The cost of doing business just across the board is going up. So if you can have a drug-free workplace and you put these measures in place, there's some discount. Your insurance is better. Your workers' comp costs and things go down. I think the article you were mentioned about 7.5%. That's significant, especially for a small business. When you're talking a couple thousand dollars, a quarter or a couple thousand dollars a year, that's significant to do something like this. And it just makes for a better overall workplace.
And I guess that's in comparison to how much it costs them to do the drug testing. It works out better.
Right.
Very small cost to do drug screens.
Now, are employers required to drug test? Is there some law that says they have to do this?
No, there's not. There's incentives. There's incentives by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation to perform drug testing and have a drug-free workplace. But that I'm aware of, there's not.
The Department of Transportation,
I think,
is the exception. If
you're right,
Matt. Have a CDL, you're a truck driver, the Department of Transportation does require a drug screen for pre-employment as well as a random process and things like that. So, but as far as most other employers, it's truly up to the employer. And I think most of them do the drug screening for safety reasons and possibly what Kathleen said as far as, possibly receiving benefits as reducing insurances and things like that.
Now, medical marijuana will soon be legal in the state of Ohio. And what's happening in states where marijuana has been legalized?
You can still, so far the states where it has been legalized, employers can still hold their employees and prospective employees to their drug-free workplace policy. So if you have a policy in place, you can still hold them to that standard. Because it's no less of, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's less of an issue for the employer itself. So if you have the policy in place, or if you put the policy in place, you can hold your employees to that standard. And so then, yes, if they test positive, however that testing is, whether it's a pre-employment test or sometimes some companies, depending on the nature of their business, do, as Matt mentioned, random drug testing. If they test positive and you have the policy and you have the program in place, you can still hold them to that standard.
Now, what about the liability issues for a company that doesn't test? Say they have an employee who gets in an accident on the job because they're on drugs.
It can be very, very big. I mean, there's been numerous cases out there where employers did not do their due diligence with a background check or a drug screen. But if they hire somebody that has a known drug problem and it goes out and that person gets in an accident and, God forbid, you know, hurt somebody else or killed somebody else, they're going to come back after the company say, you did not do your job in screening this person before you put them behind the wheel.
Or even if it's a matter of, you know, somebody has a volatile personality and maybe there's drugs involved in something. If the company hasn't done their due diligence and you hear about these workplace incidents,
violence,
if the company hasn't done their due diligence and this was known, the company can, that's a liability for the company, even within its own facility and things. If there's an accident or something for an employee that had a drug issue, things like that, there's still a liability to the company.
But compared to the number of companies that are doing drug tests, how many are not doing drug tests?
I wouldn't even be able to venture to put a number on that.
I don't know the number. We tend to see it with smaller organizations that they just don't feel the need to. We tend to see it with organizations where the budget's a little tight. It is a cost. It's not a big cost, but it is a cost. So, you know, if they're looking for measures, you know, sometimes they haven't gotten to where they can see the benefit of doing it. So we tend to see it in smaller organizations that maybe aren't doing the drug testing or even doing the background check, but we do strongly recommend it.
And with the smaller organizations, I think what you see a lot of times is owners that get their employees through referrals, and there really is kind of a family feel, and they feel that they know this person.
So there's a trust factor.
You know, they were referred by somebody's daughter's friend and things like that. And there is a trust factor there, which, you know, they're putting themselves at risk.
They
but
are.
There's a trust
I've seen
factor.
That. I've seen that come
time
back
and time
on
again.
But it's just that's a choice you make in doing business.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. A lot of the wanted ads are stating that passing a drug test is mandatory for a job. Does that kind of help screen people
you know,
out right
I,
away?
And I do use that. When we have that type of a position, if I have a skilled labor position or an hourly type of position, or even, you know, it depends on the type of position it is, but I will put that sometimes in the ad just to put it out there up front that, you know, there's make no secret that if you want to come join this company, we've got great opportunities for you, but you need to be able to pass a drug screen.
Because I've heard stories where you get a room full of applicants, you tell them there's a drug test involved and half the room gets up and leaves.
Right. Or I don't want to get all the way through my interview process, which usually is multiple steps of interviewing and screening and things, and to find out right before I think I've got this position filled and then you find out the person can't pass a drug screen. Mm-hmm. I want to take as many steps as I can ahead of time to do that. You can't always screen it out, but I want to take some steps to be able to if I have concerns.
We've certainly seen examples where people will take it to the – they know they failed the test, but they're still going to push and push and say, I had a prescription for this, you know, medicine. And there's processes in place where, you know, they have to show the prescription and things. And they'll, knowing that they're on the drug, they'll still try to push and push to the end to maybe have the chance that the drug screen is going to somehow come back negative. We see it all the time.
Now, how common is it to hear about people trying to beat drug tests, Matt?
We were just talking on the way in. We have we get calls all the time where people are trying to bring in other people's urine specimen, or there are different ways to try to beat the test. But we've partnered with LabCorp at Signet Screening. They're a great lab, and they have processes in place to make sure that the temperature is correct and that there's not any additives in it. It's kind of the cat and mouse of the radar detector and the police. They come out with different things, and then they start testing for those materials. But it's very common. It's very common that they try to go in and will try to beat the tests.
Now, what's the process for testing? Are there different types of tests that can be done, Matt?
There are different types of tests. There's three primary tests. The first one is a saliva test. The most common is a urine screening, and the third one would be the hair. And there's not really a silver bullet for drug screening. Saliva is going to pick up the usage sooner than urine. Hair will go back the furthest. Urine kind of fits in that sweet spot in the middle where it's going to show some history and be somewhat recent. So, for example, we recommend to our clients the oral drug screen for a reasonable suspicion or a random test, because if you want to know if that person is drunk or high right now, that is going to be the one that will pick up the results the soonest, because everybody's body processes these drugs differently. Somebody who's similar to my size and height might process the drug faster or slower. It just depends on how the body processes it. But there are different drug screens, and there's different times, in my opinion, that they're meant to be used.
Now, with more and more companies doing these pre-employment drug tests, are we seeing less and less random testing in the workplace?
I think it tends to depend on the nature of the position and the nature of the business. You know, where there are safety issues, I will tend to see more random type drug testing, whether it's working with heavy machinery. Again, the Department of Labor, the Department of Transportation has their own requirements that have specific drug testing that has to be done. It could be a matter of, sometimes it's a matter of the business owner and what the history is, what his experience has been. If he's had some issues in the past, they may be more likely to do it. As far as the discounting with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, the more testing you do, the bigger the discount. So it just depends on the kind of the offset, you know, what's the balance of what's tolerable and effective for the workforce versus the discounting and the cost savings that you get by doing it.
And how accurate are these tests?
I mean, they're extremely accurate. There's different cutoff levels for the different tests, and they allow for, you know, for example, back in the day, we were talking about this earlier, you know, you used to be able to have a poppy seed bagel, and the test was so sensitive that it would actually pop for an opioid positive. But they've adjusted the levels, and, you know, they're very, very accurate in terms of, you know, results. And most of the time when somebody fails a drug screen, you know, they have the opportunity to retest. Most of the time, it's not an issue. The person kind of knows that they've tested positive and move on.
One of the things that we run into too, that we run into a lot with drug screening and things like that is, oh, well, my back was bothering me today. My husband had a Percocet or whatever it was. So it was just today I took it. Well, if that's not your prescription, you don't have the backup for it. So it's a violation of the drug screen policy. And it can be, you know, it's heartbreaking sometimes, because this could be a very good employee who's suffering. She's having back pain or whatever, but you took a prescription drug that was not yours. And so there's ramifications of that. And sometimes that's, you know, it's one thing, you picture the person who's an addict or the person that's out smoking marijuana in their car at lunch or whatever that might be. But sometimes it's also the other side too, of somebody
something very simple and seemingly innocent.
Yes.
It might have been their prescription, but it might have expired.
Yeah.
You maybe were supposed to take that OxyContin twice a day for 2 weeks, but you still have the bottle in your medicine cabinet. And 6 months later, you've got a back issue, and you take, you know, it can get complicated. But there's a medical review officer process where a doctor would contact that person and ask them, what is your prescription status, and go through all of that.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to talk about pre-employment drug testing and the ramifications for employers and employees, our president and CEO of Signet Screening, Matt Messersmith, and director of client relations at Strategic HR, Kathleen Snyder. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So what about someone who is on prescribed drugs? How does an employer handle someone who shouldn't be operating machinery or working with maybe financial records while they're on painkillers or a medical marijuana prescription? They put them on medical leave? Is that what they should do?
Well, it becomes a performance issue. And so it becomes – and sometimes it may become a disability issue. You know, if somebody is on prescription drugs for a back pain, you have to kind of look at it from a little bit different lens. It's fine. Okay, they have the prescription, so it's not necessarily in violation of the drug-free workplace policy. But if it's affecting how they're performing their job – it's still, you just have to look at it differently. And so it's different issues come into play depending on the company. It may become a family medical leave. Maybe they need to be out and take a leave until this, you know, whatever the situation is that they're on this medication is resolved. If it's a long-term form of medication, it may be that's where the disability might come into play. And so then the employer needs to start looking at, well, do I need to make some kind of accommodation for this individual who has this issue that's that's being treated with this medication that's causing these concerns or something for them.
And we've seen customers that have moved somebody from that, shall we say, risky position where they are working with the machinery and moved them to a position where it's not as high risk and they're not going to injure themselves or others. And then once they're off the prescription, they can move back to their position working the machinery.
The
or
key
equipment.
For those types of circumstances to know whether your company is covered by certain laws or not. So if it's, say it's somebody who has a back injury, it's more short term. Or a knee injury or something, and they've had knee surgery, they're on painkillers, but it's going to be up for a defined period of time, as in it's not an extended issue. They may be covered under the Family Medical Leave Act, so that if your company is. If you have 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius, you're covered under the Family Medical Leave Act, and then you kind of go through that process. If you're covered, is the employee covered? They have to have been employed for 12 months and worked 1,250 hours a year, I think it is. You kind of go through that process of it. Then is it disability? Well, are you covered by disability? Most companies are covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act. I think the threshold is about 15 employees. So most companies are. Then you start having the dialogue back and forth of what's an accommodation that might work. Is there one that might work? So you treat it a little differently. But it still doesn't mean it's not a concern for the company in some way, shape, or form.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Matt in Fairview. Hi, Matt.
My question is, I just moved here from Portland, Oregon, and as you guys know, marijuana is legal.
I was gonna say, you have your marijuana out there, don't you?
Yeah, and I definitely enjoy that a lot more than I would alcohol or something, and on a Friday night with my friends or something, using that would ruin my chances of passing a drug test. And I just actually got a job that does require it, and there's random testing if I'm injured or something. And so I don't smoke anymore. But
good.
How do you deal with the fact that marijuana seems to be disproportionately, it's in your system a lot longer than any of the other stuff that might,
absolutely,
you know,
it's
might
about,
be stronger,
it's about 6 weeks.
Yeah, so.
Depending upon,
my question is there a way to see if you can test it for if it's like 3 or 4 days? Or is it going to always be that way?
You want to know if it can. They can run a test to just show recent usage and not something that goes back?
Yeah. When it does become legal, will I ever be able to use, marijuana on a Friday night? I'm not someone who would go out and smoke on my lunch break, but I'd much rather do that than drink a beer.
Well, sadly, Matt, the way things are currently structured and what employers are currently experiencing, even in Oregon, even in Colorado, in the states that are allowing recreational marijuana use or medical marijuana use, the way the law is shaking out is that the employer can still hold an employee to their drug-free workplace policy. So if your employer has a drug-free workplace policy that they do drug testing, yes, you are still going to be held to that standard. So that may impact what you do on Friday night. You may have to make a different choice. But it's just the nature of it. You never know. I mean, the way it is becoming a much more prevalent topic, it is becoming much more prevalent in our society. So you never know. Things may change. There was a time that alcohol was illegal, right? So it's hard to say how all this develops, but as of right now and the way things are trending, and it has gone to court a number of different times, and so far the law is upholding that if the employer has the policy, if the employee is doing drug testing, they are within their rights to hold their employees to that.
So even if somebody moves here from a state where it was legal,
absolutely,
and they do a test that goes back a ways and mm-hmm. find it, then it's
– yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Matt, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's talk with Robert in Loveland. Hi, Robert.
What about prescribed medicine to treat opioid dependence, such as buprenorphine, naloxone? You can test for buprenorphine, which is an opiate
Narcan
agonist.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
You can test, and methadone is another one with the opiates, and those can all be tested for, and just like a regular prescription, if somebody is in recovery and is taking those medicines, then if it is tested, it would go through the regular medical review officer process where the doctor would call that patient or that applicant, and ask them to show proof that they've taken those types of drugs. I mean, it would basically be a prescription at that point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. We appreciate the call. Elaine in Fairfield joins us now. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I was just listening to the show. I don't know who your woman commenter is. But
Kathleen.
She seems very interested in the employer's rights. And most companies I've worked for, and I've had a lot of jobs, they usually can find something for someone to do that's not at risk until they get off their medication. But she seems so slanted towards going on disability, which you may get paid for. The Family Leave Act, you just don't get paid.
And so it depends on, it can depend. And full disclosure, I'm human resources. So, yes, I am working with the employer. And part of my role, too, is we try to find what's the best solution all the way around. But part of my job is to look out for the best interest of the employer. Absolutely. If there's a way if somebody's has a particular a particular injury or something that has them on some medication that might prohibit them or put them at risk in their normal role, we absolutely encourage, if there's a way to find another role for that individual that they can still be active in the workforce, or if there's another position that they can do for the term that they're on this medication, yes, definitely doing so. It's not legally required to do so unless often it's done. You'll see that done under a workers' compensation claim. So if somebody was injured on the job and they're on some sort of, something is prohibiting them from returning to their regular work, you may see the employer use light duty is what we call it. But other types of, if it's FMLA, no, light duty is not required. So that becomes the decision of the employer. And again, we try to do what's in the best interest of all the way around so that we want our employees at work. We want you to, you're a value to the company. We want to see people be able to work.
Well, and like you're saying too, in a tight job market,
somebody that's a good employee and they've got some, they've got talents that I can use. If there's those types of circumstances, I'm going to look real hard to find other ways that I can use their talents so I don't lose them.
Let's talk with Michael in East Walnut Hills. Hi, Michael. Hello, Michael. Are you there?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, fantastic. So I just wanted to make a brief comment. To me, given that it seems we're moving in a direction where, at least with police departments, they're becoming more able to actually measure when marijuana specifically was used in the past, to see if somebody is actually driving under the influence, it seems a bit of an overreach to me by the business community into our personal lives to just do a blanket ban for something like marijuana. Given that if you're in an industry where safety, obviously we don't want airline pilots smoking, but, if you're in an industry where it's not something that's necessarily a safety issue, to me it just seems like a bit of an overreach on the part of the companies, and I would personally like to see some legislation moving forward to address that, and I'll go ahead and take my comments off the air.
Okay, Michael.
It's not so much that the business world is singling out marijuana. It's more that they aren't. Marijuana is still a federally illegal drug, regardless of where it's legal or under what circumstances it's illegal or legal. It is still federally illegal. It is still an
It's a Schedule I narcotic.
So that's the way it is treated. So it's not so much that marijuana is being singled out. It's the fact that it's not an exception's not being made for it. And there are significant safety issues. And even for companies where, maybe it's not heavy machinery or something like that, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of statistics and things that can show a safer, a better, more positive work environment. There are a lot of positive impacts by having a drug-free workplace. So there's a lot of other things that wrap into that. It goes into the cost of doing business.
Yeah, so you don't view it as an overreach?
No, I would say there's certainly numerous customers out there that we have that have taken the attitude that what our employees do on their own time is up to them. And that's fine. That's up to them. But, there certainly could be legal risks that company is taking on by taking that attitude. So, it's a risk for the customer or the company that's chooses not to screen.
There are companies, and we hear about this in Colorado, that there are companies in other states and things where it's legal recreationally. There are companies that embrace it, and that's fine. That's their choice to do, and they're comfortable with the risk involved in that. So that's really up to the business owners at that point.
We have been asked to remove marijuana from the drug test. we can specifically make customized drug screens and say these are the drugs we want to screen for. I wouldn't say it's a large group by any stretch, but we have been asked before to remove marijuana from the drug screen because the owner did not want to screen for that drug.
Okay. Let's talk with John in Milford. Hi, John. Hello, John. Hi, John. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Good. And go right ahead with your question.
Okay. It's partly comment, partly question. Seeing as though the pendulum has swung towards employees having to do all these tests all the time with many corporations, what does the panel think of the possibility that we should require CEOs, CFOs, boards of directors, and even potentially stockholders to have to undergo the same onerous types of things that the employees have to go under? If we want this to be a fair society, it seems that that would be useful, and especially if all the stockholders had to do it, I think it would change the discussion.
I can tell you that we have all of our customers at Signet that we do the random drug screening for. The CEO is on the list to be drawn. So, you know, they don't exclude themselves. Most of the business owners that I come in contact with, if they have that expectation for their employees, they have that expectation on themselves.
I think it also goes to who impacts the day-to-day business. Does a stockholder impact the day-to-day operations of the business? Boards of directors? Possibly. And I can't speak to that one. I honestly don't know how those are handled. But yeah, if the CEO is anybody that's an employee of the company should be included and held to the same standard. But it draws whether to, you know, how far down that list you go is who has impact on the day-to-day operations of the company.
Matt and Kathleen, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
President and CEO of Signet Screening, Matt Messersmith, and Director of Client Relations at Strategic HR, Kathleen Snyder. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and coming up, we'll hear about the environmental concerns over coal ash ponds at the Beckjord Power Plant in New Richmond and possible steps to make the site safe.